So there's a verse of scripture that is often quoted in association with the revival that comes from a scene in the Bible where God has just, or Solomon has just built God a temple. And I don't know if you remember that story where Solomon builds the temple, but he brings in all the ministers in pomp and circumstance. Because it's the temple of the Lord, they put on their holy robes, and they walk into the middle of the temple, waiting on God, and God doesn't show. And they're a little confused because this is God's temple, and his glory, his presence is not there. And so they learned a lesson from that God just doesn't show up because of what you wore. Amen. How many of you learned that on a Tuesday night? You know, we're a little more casual around here, but they came in all their vesture and God didn't show up. They gave a lot of speeches and God didn't show up, even though they gave a lot of speeches. They did everything they knew to do. They prayed a few prayers and the glory of God didn't show up. But all of a sudden, the Bible says the musicians begin to play. And the people began to sing. And the Bible said that when they filled the house with worship, all of a sudden the fire of God came down and burned up the sacrifice, and the glory of God came in so thick that those dressed up priests couldn't even stand up any longer. The Bible says they could not stand up and minister. He put them all on the floor in the presence of an almighty God, because that's where God shows up. Never neglect your time of worship. You know, I know that the Bible says there's 12 levels in heaven, and I've just always assumed that you get to go to all 12. But if there is this rare chance that you only get to ascend if you have exalted him, I hope and pray that he finds my praise worthy to go up a level and up a level and up a level and up a level. We know there's 12 levels, and there's no reason. I mean, I'm not telling you the Bible says that, because it doesn't say that, but it does tell us that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things the Lord has prepared for them. So if God does allow exaltation to bring ascension, I hope that God looks upon this house on a Tuesday night and sees our hands in the air and a hallelujah coming from our lips and the songs of Zion being sung and great exaltation in the house of the Lord. So after this great big scene, Solomon lays his head down to go to sleep. And that is when the Lord appears to him in a vision, not in his sleep. He was asleep, and then he woke up, and then this vision came to him. And this is what the Lord said out of 2 Chronicles 7. This is the backdrop I've given you. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. That is what revival looks like. And I want to break this verse down and tell you a few things about revival and let you know that what we're seeing right now is exactly what the Bible has described as an outpouring of revival. The first thing he says in this passage is, if my people will pray. Revival does not come just through songs. Revival is born because someone has been on their knees praying and asking God's presence to show up. Revival is born. And can I tell you something about OCI? We have had a perpetual prayer meeting going on now for almost 13 years. Every Thursday, you can go to ISO right now, and you will see sometimes 100, sometimes less, sometimes 150 people, and you'll see about 5,000 to 8,000 people online joining us in a prayer meeting that has been going on now for over 13 years, and it is a powerful time. God does not turn a deaf ear to prayer. God does not turn a deaf ear. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, don't you dismiss for one moment the importance of global prayer on Thursday from 6 to 7. Don't dismiss for one moment the need for the pre-service prayer. Don't dismiss for one moment that every noon Tuesday, a group of people gather here and pray at 12 o'clock every Tuesday. Don't dismiss for one moment that every Thursday, another group of people meet at noon and pray at ISO. Did you hear what I was saying? There's a group praying on Tuesday at noon, on Tuesday at 6 p.m. for the service, the pre-service prayer. There's another group praying after service and during the service and at the altar call. There's another group praying on Thursday at noon and also on Thursday night at Global Prayer. This is a place that has been saturated with the prayers of God. That's the kind of place you can see a miracle. That's the kind of place where you can see the evidence of the presence of God because the people of God have prayed. Prayer is the fuel of revival. It always begins with prayer. If you just come in and get caught up in the fire of it all or the hype of it all, then you're going to miss the whole point. Revival is not sent to hype you up. Revival is sent to put you on your knees and take you deeper with God, to get you to a point of repenting before the Lord and living. Some people want enough of God to feel good, but not enough of God to live good. And God doesn't want you to just feel good. God wants you to live good. And that's the kind of revival that he is bringing to this earth right now.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Revival is a turning point in history. And yes, that is a play on words. Revival is a turning point in history. When revival comes, everything changes. There is a U-turn in a nation. There is an uptick in hope. There is a U-turn in prayer. When revival comes, it is a turning point for churches. It is a turning point for college campuses. It is a turning point for government. It is a turning point for the people of God. It is a turning point for those who are hopeless. It is a turning point for the prison system. It is a turning point for the welfare system. It is a turning point of hope because everything changes in the spirit of revival. Now listen to this. First of all, how do I know it's really revival? Number one, people are praying. If my people will humble themselves, people are praying. There is no revival without that. How do I know it is revival? People are repenting. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and what? Turn from their wicked ways. That's what repent means. Repent, the word repent literally means to do an about face. It means to turn around and walk in a different direction. You're not repenting so that your sin, you're asking forgiveness for your sins, but when you repent, you're walking away from your sins and you're walking in a brand new path that is not the same way that you walked before. He said, people are repenting, turn from their wicked ways. People are healed. He said, I will heal their land. Not only that, in real revival, the name of Jesus is being exalted. He said that my name may be there perpetually. Not only that, in real revival, people are drawn to the presence of the Lord because the Lord says, I've chosen the house and I've sanctified the house. And the sanctified house will draw in the presence of the Lord and also the presence of people. And the other thing is that crowds will begin to gather. So look at this. Real revival means you see people praying, you see people repenting, you see people being healed, you see the name of Jesus being exalted, you see people drawn into the presence of the Lord, and you see crowds beginning to gather. All of that found in that verse, if my people which are called by my name. You see, the last day revival is different. We've seen revival before. We've seen revivals in local churches. We saw the great Brownsville revival. It was a localized, a regional revival that lasted 5 years. We saw the Toronto revival that lasted for several years. We've seen many revivals. We've seen healing revivals that were in various places and used by several different evangelists. We've seen the charismatic renewal revival, which came and it began to renew people from religious experiences into a different type of relationship with God. But there is a different revival that we've been looking for. Not a revival that is at one local church, that you have to gather at one local church and stand in a line for 4 or 5 hours. You know, at Brownsville, they gathered at 4:30 in the morning to get into the service the next night. They started gathering at 4:30 just to be able to have a seat the very next night at church and would stay there watching the sun go up and almost go down just so they could have a seat. We're not talking about a revival in an airport in Toronto. We're not talking about a revival in a few locations under tents. We're talking about something entirely different. This revival that the Bible has promised, it's worldwide. It's not something that is going to happen in America. It's something that is going to happen in all continents around the world. It is something that is going to go to all the languages. It is something that's going to go to every ethnic group. We're not looking for a revival that is just going to revive us. Oh, no, I won't be satisfied. Listen, OCI, we're revived already. We stay in a spirit of revival. I mean, we have people being saved every week. We have people being healed. We just heard a testimony tonight, and I heard it too, of someone being healed of cancer, just got their doctor's call in the concourse before service tonight. We see healings. Everything I just described to you, we already see this at OCI. I'm not talking about bringing in an evangelist and doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday preaching. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that gets in the streets. I'm talking about something that cleans up the veins. I'm talking about something that sets the addict free. I'm talking about something that sobers up a drunk. I'm talking about something that God uses that brings families together. Something that is not regional. Something that is not statewide or nationwide. I'm ready for God to move across this entire world with a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.